ate all those things that they said were yummy to the tummy. And I have to admit, I liked it because I wasn't trained any better. I wasn't taught any better. But when, you know, the Bible said when you're a child, you think it's a child. They taught me as a child. And so, I mean, you see your peers doing it. You see your parents doing it. You see all the community people. We used to go to church and we'd have an all-day singing and dinner on the ground. You know, they'd stretch woven wire back then. They'd make temporary tables out of woven wire. And people bring a covered dish. The ladies would just cook. And you know, and you'd go around and eat with each family and just brag on their food because you want to fill up your belly. And 90% of it was pork, unclean food. Catfish and stuff like that. But wherefore, the teachings that I'm going to teach you tonight is somewhat based upon keeping the Sabbath. And I want to teach you on, do you know what day to keep the Sabbath on? You say, well buddy, I hadn't really thought about it. I keep Saturday. And some of you would say, well, I keep Sunday. And others would say other things. But are you sure that the Bible would condone your lifestyle of keeping a day out of the week, set it aside? Are you sure he's keeping that day? Now, the Bible says that when he rested on the seventh day and he blessed it. Well, everybody thinks that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and in that order. But ladies and gentlemen, that could be not, that's not necessarily true. You see, the ark rested in the Bible. The Bible said when Noah's ark rested, he opened the door to the hatch, the ark covenant cover. He opened that door on a new moon. Now, that would have been the first day of the month. Well, if that's true, then we know that that would be a time that the Bible would teach you, and we're leading over to Colossians 2, 13 through 16, where it says, let no man judge you in a new moon. Now, if new moons wasn't in there, why would Paul bring up a new moon? And see, everybody counts from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. See, that's a Roman concept. That's like me, a child, eating pork because my mom and dad ate it and put it on the table for us. That was our staple diet. That's what we was raised on. And I'm suffering today because somebody failed to teach me. The Bible said that you are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, if you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, you can't blame the Creator for the lack of knowledge that's come to you. You gotta blame somebody that you're listening to, or somebody that you are following, somebody that's setting you an example. I couldn't wait to be grown up so I could smoke cigarettes like my dad. He was 6'3", and all man, and I admired him so much. He was, you know, my dad protected me. He wasn't afraid of nothing or nobody, and so I felt very secure and safe around him. But I didn't know that he was a ticking time bomb. That he had smoked so many cigarettes and drank so much. He's a moonshine maker. And he destroyed his health, and the last 30 years of his life was agony. He cancer of the stomach, and it was pitiful how he suffered. And my dad admitted, he said, it must have been all the things that I've done wrong. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait till you get sick and then confess your faults. Yahweh can't use you when you're sick and weakly and beggarly, and you have submitted yourself to the wrong concepts of life. Study. Follow men of an example. The Bible said to keep the tradition of the elders. Now, let me read verse something that's got some a celebration of the keeping of Yahweh's laws. This is what I want you to get. Hebrews 3 and 7. Wherefore, as the Spirit of the Holy One saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. Now, the father could get awful grieved with you if he is trying to get the truth to you, and something is standing in your way. I mean, compromise is something that Yahweh doesn't, he's not pleased with a compromiser. He's not pleased with a hypocrite. Be what you are, and if you're standing for the wrong thing, change. If you're condemned in what you allow, then you better get out of that, and you better walk away from that. But if there's no condemnation, don't let the Pharisees and the people that judge you condemn you for the things that you do or the things that you allow. The Bible said, blessed is he that has confidence in that which he allows. Well, I had confidence that pork was, you know, I had nothing to challenge me until I met a holiness man. He said, well, I don't eat pork. And I thought the doctor told him, you know, for some reason, because sometimes the doctor tell you not to eat pork if you got out, like he told me. But that wasn't what he said, no, I don't eat pork because the Savior told me not to eat it. I don't eat swine's flesh. I don't even want it around me. I thought, well, goody two shoes. I had never read in Leviticus 18 and 17. 17 and 18, I never read those commands that Yahweh had brought some clean and unclean food laws into the nation of Israel and told them to abide by it. And so, you see, we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I hadn't read the Bible. And, well, of course, why should I? We're not under the law. That's what my pastor and that's what the Baptist Church taught me. Nothing against the Baptist Church, because they all teach that. That you don't have to do that. But the Bible said, I was grieved with this generation, and they err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's important for you to know Yahweh's ways. Now, by knowing Yahweh's ways and following after that which is good, shun that which is evil. I mean, you know, if you know cigarettes is hurting you and you know it, well, just quit them. You say, well, I got such a strong habit. And boy, I mean, I wrestled with cigarettes. I'd quit maybe 10,000 and two times, or 2003, possibly could have been 2004. I quit so many times that I quit, but I'd always go back. Well, you didn't quit. Quit means to stop. If you quit and go back, quit and go back, and quit and go back, it's like a boat on the ocean, tossed, you know, like a little boat on a rough, violent sea. You're tossed to and fro. Yahweh likes a man that is a man that'll stand for what he believes in and stands on it. Now, you can stand wrong. You can believe a lie and be damned. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Yahweh was, he said, I swear that they always err in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath. Oh, man, it gets bad when he puts a wrath on you. Whipping for disobedience. When he tells you to quit doing something, and you keep on doing it, you're disobeying him, and the Bible said that the rod is laid up for the fool's back. And he will beat you with many stripes. I'm suffering right now in my body from some minor ailments because that I wouldn't listen to him. Well, it pays to listen to a man that knows the plan. And, of course, your Heavenly Father knows that. And the Sabbath, I believe, is very important for you to observe and to keep it in this respect. You say, well, does it have anything to do with salvation? Salvation is not based on any of the commandments. Salvation was based upon a free gift. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, it's almost the cheese gets binding here. Now, if he's done something good for you, and I tell people this, Yahweh, you don't have to keep the law. There's no scriptures in the Bible that you have to keep it, that it's mandatory for you to keep it. But The difference is that when he gets in your heart, you want to keep it. And you feel like you're letting him down. Have you ever tried a coach, you know, playing for a baseball team or a football team or something like that, and you're really into active sports, and your coach is really put his heart and soul into teaching you and instructing you to be a winner? And when you lose, you just feel so awful because you've let him down, and he goes away so sad. Well, that's about the way it is when the Father has taught you and coached you in his law. Now, he said, why call me Yahweh and do not the things I say to do? It's important for you to love Yahweh. It's important for you to make an effort. The Bible said, if I first be a willing mind, this is acceptable for you to enter into his rest. Exhort one another daily while it's called today. You know, we ought to think about these things every day of our life. These other things that we go on about, and so much of it is foolishness wrapped up, and we spend our day in so much foolishness. You know, time is ticking. And if you ain't got but a few days left, a few seconds left, and I've counted up people's lives that I preached their funeral, men that were like in their 80s. But would you be surprised at how many days 80 years would add up to number of days? You'd think, gosh, that'd be a bunch of years. That was an old dude. And yet when you add it up in literal days, 80 times 360, a 5 and a quarter, I mean, it gets so short. You're so shocked that our life is like a vapor, and it's here today, and tomorrow we have to give an account to him. And he rides a fast horse. Every day that you walk toward him, he's walking towards you. Every day that you're walking away from him, he's walking away from you because he's going in the opposite direction. You see what I mean? He's wanting to see you face to face, eye to eye, and to know that you would love him and keep his commandments, which the Bible said, now notice this. For some, when they heard this instruction, they provoked. So you don't have to do that. You know, they said, I don't have to do nothing but to die. I can die. I have to do that. It's once appointed. Now, the other things are, you know, I'm taking a chance. By chance, I might live to be 95 years old. But my chance, my number might come up when I'm 52. Well, should I live for 52 years like hell, and then when I get sick, give my life over to the Creator and say, I'm here to serve you, Yah? I don't think so. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to have a zeal in your heart to pursue him. David said, my heart pursues after the Creator. I long for him. On the night seasons, my heart ponders him. I lay awake at night and I say, Father, am I pleasing you? I pray to you. Help me. Deliver me. Am I worthy to stand in your presence in the day that I'll have to buckle the knee and look at you in the eye and say, I have to give an account for all those wasted years. It's just too late then. Judgment begins right now at your house. You can change tonight to incorporate a faith-based walk that will please your Creator, and you can have peace of mind. The Bible said to strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many strive but will not be able. What if you almost got there? What if you almost pleased him? What if you almost skipped his correct day on the Sabbath? And you just narrowly missed the gate. Oh my. What if you just got into a seamount way and say, well, it don't really matter. Let us fear, verse 1 of chapter 4. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. That worries me. I'm concerned about that. Am I doing my best to please my Creator? Are you doing your best? Have you put everything in proper perspective? You know, the rich young man, I mean, he was running after everything but Yahweh. Lazarus was running after nothing but Yahweh. And the difference between the two, the rich man had a lot of substance, but he died without Yahweh. Lazarus didn't have no substance, but he died with Yahweh. And the difference was, at the parting of their walk, the rich man, the angels came and drug him down to a lower level, so to speak. But the life angels come and bared Lazarus up on their arms of love, and they exalted him up to Abraham's bosom. That's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. Where are you going to spend eternity? I mean, life down here is like a blaze of a vapor. I don't know what you did yesterday, but yesterday is now uncallable back. Whatever you've done is going to stand on your record. Your works are going to follow you into judgment, and you're going to give an account for every idle word that you speak. Let us fear now, as it says in 4:1, Hebrews, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Are you coming short? Are you measuring up? Have you ever thought, what day is the day that I should cease from my labors and put my love and affection toward my Creator? And you're the obvious thing is, oh, I love him every day. Oh, really? When you're telling jokes? When you're watching a ball game, you love him? Well, of course I love him. Well, of course you have to have a little entertainment, Pastor Bunny. Well, what about serving Yahweh? Is that entertainment? Man, I love to get together. I love to get together with the brothers. Everyone I've ever baptized, when I see them, it's like my sons. And should I speak evil of them? Should I talk about them and criticize them behind their back? When I can't do it to the face, when I say I'm so in love with them, and to think, well, my heavens, these people are so wonderful and good. See, it's the people that will help you when you're down and out that will give you a helping hand and pick you up out of the mud, and I don't care what you've done, they still love you. That's a brother. When somebody gives everything he's got, and then you still don't appreciate that, and you still want to murmur and complain about it, that's a Pharisee. That's the attitude of a Pharisee. Consider yourself. Consider the Messiah. Was he meek and humble? Well, of course he was. For they which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You see that? The works are finished. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Elohim did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limits a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if the Messiah had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. And there remains therefore a rest. You know, when are we going to cease from being divided and have rest and peace with one another? That's most important as an example of the Father. I mean, did he love? Did you have to do something before he loved you? He was doing everything wrong. I mean, I was eating pork, smoking cigarettes, drinking Jack Daniels. Well, mostly moonshine, but and beer and wine and smoking cigars and dipping snuff and chewing tobacco. I was doing all that stuff when I was having a time. At least I thought I was, but my heart wasn't in it. It didn't want to do that. It didn't want to curse and be envious and bitter against everyone. It wanted me to love. It wanted me to have a meek, humble spirit and be kind. That's his rest, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's talking about here. If you look at the scripture I've just read about here, it's talking about salvation and not the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is rest, but it's talking about the salvation that brings that rest. Have you got it below the collarbone that you have that eternal rest? Are you satisfied where you're at? If not, you're of all men most miserable. If you're more interested in the activities of the world, the Bible said, he that loves the world, the love of the Father ain't in him. Oh, man, it's been my dream that the brothers could dwell together in unity. But it don't seem like it's possible because there's so much carnal mind and perfection of the flesh, not just perfection of the spirit. These people that think they're perfect in the flesh, having begun in the spirit, are now made perfect by the flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, you're never going to be perfect. You're going to have faults. I can pick out your faults. If you don't chew gum, if you don't drink, if you don't smoke, you don't gamble, you don't chew, you don't run around with people that do, and you talk right, spit right and white and all that stuff, that still ain't going to save you. You still got to have that salvational link into the Torah, or the Word, which you should find rest in the Word, which is completely in John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the Torah, or the law. Torah meaning law. Sin is a transgression of the law. Well, what did he come for? Well, he come to free you from sin. To give you rest. Now, if you can rest upon this, that you love your brother, then you've got something valuable in your heart, and you should share it, not let somebody try to dig that brother out of your heart by just saying some things about him that he shouldn't say. And it's very important for us to love one another. If we got to know one another, you better go to your own brother. If you don't like your brother, you better tell him about it. But if you love your brother, whom you have seen, well, then it's obvious you're going to love the one you ain't seen. But if you ain't loved your brother, you ain't going to love him. Because he said, inasmuch as you do it to the least of your brother, see, you're judged on how you treat your brother, how you walk with your brother, if you put your hand in his as a right hand of fellowship, and you're going to stand behind him and with him, well, then you break off the criticism, because you don't like the way he is in his flesh. Maybe he don't like the way you put on your Sunday go-to-meeting hat. Maybe there's some things that he don't like about you, but he don't go out of the way to criticize you or to bring up fault about you. And you should consider that you're not perfect. And neither is your brother that you look in the eye. But if you can look beyond his faults and still love him, you've got something below the collarbone, and it's called salvation. Now it says, at the end of the Sabbath, this is 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw toward the first day of the week. Now, when is the first day of the week? Toward the end of the Sabbath. Now, what? Everybody said, see, that's on Saturday, glory to God. And we got these Saturday nuts. And we got these Sunday nuts. And when I say nuts, this is it's a lack of understanding about what that day was. Would you let me explain it to you for just a moment? And then, would you dare to call it Saturday or Sunday? It was neither one of those days. The Sabbath that ended was the 15th of the month, or the full moon. And that's when he died, ladies. He died at the 14th day, so he resurrected on the 15th day. Are you with me? He got up on the 15th day. It wasn't on Saturday. It wasn't on Sunday. It was on the Passover Sabbath. When it ended, he was up. And the first day of the week would have been the 16th, not Sunday. Are you listening to me now? You see how we misconceive this, and we've got a lot of ignorant people that will, they go out of their way to keep the wrong day. But they wouldn't listen to you 5 minutes to teach them the correct way to come to the understanding, just like nobody ever, until I met that holiness man nobody ever corrected me about eating unclean foods. And I, although it was hard saying, I mean, it made me mad. I got insulted. I thought, how? My God, who's he think he is? What? He don't eat pork. I thought a man didn't eat pork, didn't know where, he didn't know what living was. I mean, Southern Comfort, good hot biscuits, soda biscuits, red-eye gravy with sop at him gravy. My heavens above, it cross your eye. It was just so good, you'd slap your granny if she said anything to you while you was eating. It was that good. I mean, it felt good plumb down to your toenails when you could eat that, and good black coffee and a Southern meal like that. It's a delight. People pay enormous prices for a ham of meat down here in the South, sugar cured, honey sliced, spiced ham. Oh my God, it's a delicacy in the South. It's a way of life. Nobody ever told me. And here come this man and said, have you ever read the book of Leviticus? So I said, I didn't even know what the book of Leviticus meant. I knew John 3:16. That was about my limit of expressing the scriptures. And he said, well, let's go back and read it. And he sat down, and we was at a campground. And I had nothing better to do but smoke a cigarette and listen to him. And, you know, he got downwind because I was just killing him, upwind. He got downwind. I put me downwind. And I was smoking that cigarette so it blew smoke away. But anyway, I smoked that cigarette and listened to him. And, bless God, he read it. And I said, I had never read that. Dad never did say that. No preacher never did preach on it. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's things that you don't know. Maybe the things that you don't understand that you're destroyed for. Now, I'm not saying I'm any better person because I don't eat pork. I make my boast in that I don't, and I haven't since, I think, maybe that week that I repented and changed my life because I began to study. It added, did it make me perfect because I quit eating pork? No, of course it didn't. The only thing that will make you perfect is a salvation under your collarbone that he stuck there before the foundation of the world. That's what made you perfect. But the best you can do, which is filthy rags, if you can clean up your life and clean up your act and don't bring offense. It wasn't on a, he didn't get up on a Saturday morning or Saturday evening. They didn't keep Sunday on the first day that began after he got up. That wasn't a Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, we know it was the 16th day of the month. And so then, it is very critical for you that you practice the things of, well, just like Exodus 16:29. Let me read that for you. See? Yahweh hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. This is Exodus 16:29. He gives you the bread of 2 days. Abide in every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Now, what he meant was, he didn't mean that, well, he meant not to go out of his tent. He didn't mean that you get in there and zip up the zipper. It's the Sabbath, boy. You don't come out. If you do, I'm going to hit you in the head with a baseball bat. That's like a Pharisee. What that meant was, it was relating, don't go out and gather bread. You can go and do your activities. You can water your stock. You can do those things. Don't leave your tent to go out there and pick up more bread. Because I have given you the bread of 2 days. Abide every man in his own place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day to gather bread, is what it meant. But some people say, oh, you can't go out of your tent. Glory to God, that's what the Bible says. Shun thy glory to God, and I believe everything that God says, honey, and I'm going to stick with it. If you're getting so dogmatic, you can't put the expression of the intent. See, it wasn't written with the intent to keep you zipped up in a tent all day long, and you couldn't even as much as stick your head out. Not one hair to come out, according to a Pharisee. And you see these rigid things. Well, now you can't bake no bread on the Sabbath. You can't light no fire on the Sabbath. You can't do none of these things. You got to stay there, and you better fix it on Saturday, honey. Because if you're a Sunday worshiper, you can fix it on Saturday. And if you're the seventh day, because that's the week, that's a Gregorian. That has nothing to do with Yahweh's seventh day. Just because you some heathen told you that the seventh day was on Saturday, and you're stupid enough to fall for that without discerning the effects or the intents of what the Messiah meant about the day of the week. What he said was the first day of the week is on the 16th day of the month, because the 15th was the Sabbath. Now, you understanding this? And this is what I want you to see. Do not run half-shod and be persuaded by, just because somebody's adamant in there, well, I know that's what the Bible said. It says Saturday is the seventh day. The Bible don't say that Saturday is the seventh day. You said that. Yahweh didn't tell you that Saturday was seventh. He didn't say Sunday was the seventh day. That's the concepts of the people that use the calendar to determine. Well, those of you that believe the Sabbath, the Sunday thing, I was a Baptist, that's what we believe. You know, somebody would get out in their community and plow on the Sabbath, and you know what men would literally do? Let's not, they'd go have a big talk with that fella that plowed on the Sabbath, worked his team on the Sabbath. And if he kept insisting on doing it, I'm telling you, the community would get up in arms, and they would blackball him. I don't know where you have been shunned before, but man, they would literally shun him and shame him. And so, ladies and gentlemen, this is the extreme of not understanding the scheme. So, if you want to understand the scheme of things, understand the mind of the Creator. He didn't mind you to light a fire on the Sabbath to warm your children up. To make you some herbal tea. You say, well, I'm blessed God, if you do that, you're buying power. I've had these dogmatic people say, well, I don't light no fire on the Sabbath, glory to God. I say, well, is your power plugged up? Well, yeah. Well, did you turn off your microwave lights, your clocks? Did the air conditioner happen to kick on when it was 96 degrees or 140? Well, yeah, but I didn't pay my power bill on the Sabbath. Glory to God. When did you make the debt? You made it on the Sabbath. It doesn't matter when you pay it. You made a debt. If you really believe that you shouldn't light a fire. And today we use electricity, and that's fire coming into your house, your unit. You should go out there and pull the plug up on the power pole where it can't spin your meter, if you really believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, there is so much ridiculous doctrine in the world that it's almost sickening to hear it. Without any wisdom at all, is there no wisdom among men that they can judge small matters and be men of the word and stand on it, even if you have to suffer for it? Now, Revelations 1 and 10, I was in the Spirit on Yahweh's day. I would say, well, he must have been on Sunday. That's Yahweh's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, honey, and the Lord's day is Sunday. Or the Lord's day is Saturday. We have these ignoramuses fighting and arguing over those 2 days because the Gregorian calendar says one is Sunday and the other is Saturday. Take your pick. They give you the weekend off. Usually you don't work on Saturday, and usually you don't work on Sunday, so they make it very easy and convenient for you to keep them 2 days. Well, what if you're a lunar Sabbath keeper and it falls on Tuesday? Well, no, glory to God, that's a horse of a different color now. I just don't believe God would do that, just stagger those days. You know, his ways are not your ways. He might have deliberately made it impossible for you under the Babylonian system to please him. And this is what these people were doing, and they murmured and complained in Amos 8 and 5. Listen as I read it. When will the Sabbath and the new moon be gone, that we can buy and sell. That's what they're remembering about. They wouldn't keep his ways. But, you see, they had to keep the new moon back then. I don't know why it's changed, but of course we got a Gregorian calendar that don't include the new moon. And so man's ways changed Yahweh's ways. And Yahweh said, well, what about that scripture over there in the 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah? Where it said, I'm displeased with your new moons. They stink in my nostrils. There it is. Your new moons. Your Sabbaths. Not his. He wasn't displeased with his new moons and his Sabbath. He was displeased with theirs because they would not hear what he had to say, and they certainly would not do it on his day. Listen to this, Acts 20:7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, they said, see, this is a Church of Christ deal. You see, it was the first day of the week that they come together to break bread. That had to be on Sunday, glory to God. Church of Christ, teaching. It's the first day of the week. That's when they kept the Sabbath. They came together to break bread on the first day of the week. Well, I want to ask you a question. Did you know that the bread symbolically was broken on the night of the 14th at sundown, which would have begun the 15th day? That wasn't the first day of the week when he worshipped. That was the Sabbath day, the 15th day, ladies and gentlemen. And we've got these idiots that go back to this man-made calendar crap and stick their nose in this glue of the Pharisees' concepts or the false ones' concepts, that they have changed the times and laws, and now they're so perfect and it's so traditional. Well, I know that's what Ellen White said. It was on Saturday, and she was a prophetess. Ladies and gentlemen, there's been so many prophetess, and I have never seen a woman that knows anything about the Bible anyway. They're always silly. Silly women. And foolish men are led astray by listening to them. And ladies and gentlemen, it's like the old monkey. You could lose your tail by listening to things that you shouldn't. Let me tell you something. The head is Yahweh. The head of man. Not the head of woman. The head of man. And man is the head of the woman. So we should put it in perspective. I'm not saying a woman that can't correct her husband if he's wrong. You go ahead and do that. But you do it in the spirit not of teaching. I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man. This is a man's job, and yet there's so few men that are able and capable of doing it. There ain't enough men with backbone and intestinal fortitude to stand up and take a stand for right, because they might not get to sleep with that woman at night. Ladies and gentlemen, if you sell out for a woman, you sell out for a piece of bread, you sell out for compromise, if you sell out for just a fellowship, John 20:19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came the Messiah and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Being the first day of the week. Of course, it's a business day, ladies and gentlemen. First day of the week. You say, well, that's Sunday. Well, where to go? Shun that. Folks, it wasn't the Sunday. They didn't keep weeks. They kept months. And they began every month with a new moon. And that was the first worship day, because they were commanded to blow the trumpet in the new moon to assemble and do no servile work, Numbers 29:1. Then the first day of the week would have been the day following, which would be day two of the month. And then you work 6 days and you keep the eighth day. And then you keep 6 more days and you keep the 15th day. Then you work 6 more days and you keep the 22nd day. And then you work 6 more days and you would keep the 29th day. And so be it. From one Sabbath and from one new moon to another. Amos 8 and 5. The book of Ezekiel 46, 1 and 2. Example after example after example. That, you know, we just got through doing about 12 or 13 hours, Brother Arnold and myself, on the Sabbath. And we debated a Saturday keeper. And ladies and gentlemen, he would not cooperate. He wouldn't count from the days that we pinpointed in Deuteronomy 16. He wouldn't count.
Oh, you go ahead. You go ahead. I got something right over here. I'm going to show you something right over here.
They refused to walk in and debate. You see, it's a piece of cake to debate the Saturday keepers. Because they know that the international dateline set up in the earth is nothing but a figment of their imagination, and some mathematician has put together a combination and made a calendar that you placed on your wall. Instead of using Yahweh's signs in the heavens, which is the moon and the sun and the stars, that's what he said to go by. And so when we look at these things, ladies and gentlemen, and understand that we've been led astray by the imagination of the evil ones, the Bible said not to be carried away. In Exodus 16, Moses told the people that the seventh day would be a day of rest, a holy rest day, verse 23. Now, again, in Exodus 16, verse 23, it would be a day of rest, a holy day, a day for you to stop. I mean, what is that? A new moon, work 6 days, and rest on the eighth day. It's that combination, and you can't do anything. These people that tries to change the word of Yahweh, it's the same people that try to say, oh, I'm justified in eating pork, glory to God. God made everything clean. Well, where's that in the Bible? What's over in the book of Acts chapter 10, Pastor Buddy? Haven't you never read there where God said, I've cleaned up everything. Y'all can eat hog, you can eat rattlesnakes, you can eat lizards, you can eat scorpions, you can eat anything. Everything's clean to you. Nothing to be refused. You can have it all. I say, well, I say now, what's on the menu tonight? Well, we got bat stew, puppy dog tails, we got cat claws. Oh, man, wait till you get one of those hung in your neck. Oh, it's okay. It's clean. There's nothing unclean. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, are you so ignorant, having begun, are now made perfect with all this tradition that people put on you? I think maybe it's time that the Ten Commandments are permanently made the core central faith of our life, because you know you shouldn't steal.
Well, you know, we're not under the commandments, Pastor Buddy, of keeping the Sabbath day.
Well, let's go ahead and steal then. Well, there's exceptions. We shouldn't steal. Let me qualify that statement. Well, good. Let me have your wife and take her to bed tonight. No, now, that's not necessary. We shouldn't do those things. Well, let's see now. How about your mule over there? Could I go over and take your mule out of your stall and walk off with it? That ain't a sin, is it? I ain't breaking no commandments because we don't have to keep them. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't really interpretate the things that are right, how are you going to deal with the things that are not right? If you can't get it together to know what day to worship on without looking on a Gregorian calendar for to hang along to you, today's the Sabbath. Or Saturday, or Sunday. And, ladies and gentlemen, the Muslims take Friday, the Jews take Saturday, and the Christians take Sunday, give or take. Now, here's the Jew wannabes. These are the ones that want to be Jewish, or, you know, they're mystified, and they're enamored by the Jewish concepts. And so, since the Jews keep Saturday, does that make the Jews right? Did you know that the Jews are nothing but liars? Well, there is people that call themselves Jews, but are not. They're the big lie. They lie like a dog. Oh, Hanukkah and Easter and all these things. You see, they keep the pagan commandments. They keep these pagan commandments that is crept in off of this Gregorian calendar, and they said, well, tomorrow's Easter. Glory to God. And we'll take the Easter bunnies, and we'll dye the Easter eggs, and you children get ready now. Glory to God. We got to worship Easter. That's all about. The Christians, I mean, they get insulted when I get up and preach this in their midst. It's because they will not hear the word. And then when you challenge the Saturday worship and say, well, now, International Dateline, down in one city, it's Saturday, and the other day it's Friday, or the other day it's Sunday. Which one are you going to, which are you going to be a Seventh-day Adventist on which side of the street? You see, there's complications of this crap that they put out and hang on a wall and tell you that today is Saturday or today's Sunday when they don't even know what day that the Messiah died on. And the Bible tells you exactly the day he died on. He died on the 14th day, and he was laid to rest on the 15th day. That wasn't on Saturday. That wasn't on Sunday. Now we got this debate going on. Debating with the Gregorian calendar, which has been altered and changed repeatedly, and these idiots will sacrifice their life and believe the lie of some prophetess that says Saturday is the Sabbath. Or some preacher like Billy Graham that says Sunday is the day we ought to worship. Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow after a man, you're going to go to the ditch, because the blind follow the blind. It's a ditch experience for you. Now, is a commandment of the Sabbath keeping and not eating any unclean food, is that, or not stealing, not killing? Oh, it's relevant, Pastor Buddy, but you don't have to do it. Well, then, hell, let's kill everybody. Wouldn't it be much simpler if we just all killed each other? Because we wouldn't be breaking the commandment, but we'd sure as hell be a lot better off. If everybody died on the earth right now, everybody's troubles would cease. You see what I'm talking? Except that come a falling away, the end won't come. As long as there's people struggling to find out, to learn, to pray, to seek his ways. He said, except that come a falling away. Yahweh may be just extending this thing one more year for you. That you would come into the perpetual covenant and please him. And enter into his rest. Well, you got my message tonight, and it is the sanctification, the title of our message tonight, the sanctification. Are you sanctified? And it will take more than holy clothes and Saturday worship to keep you sanctified. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to understand that there's a lot more to this plan than what you've ever imagined it to be. So you better study to show yourself approved. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, Brother Bob, our webmaster, has reminded me, and folks, I have forgot this two or three times, and he keeps reminding me, and tonight I made myself a mental note to be sure to tell you that on www.oneyahweh.com, all lower case letters, OneYahweh.com, we are now, for your listening benefit, and there's hours of this teaching on the commandment keepings and things. Dr. Gary and I was talking a while ago. There's over 1,000, Bob has estimated there's over 1,000 hours of recorded messages up here on our website, www.oneyahweh.com, live streaming 24/7. The messages play continuously. If you're working on your computer, or if you're somewhere where you get a download connection, an internet connection, you can play these messages hours after hour after hour after hour, live streaming 24/7 on oneyahweh.com. That's our website. Go to it. And there's a lot of articles there that I think that will be relating to this message tonight of what you need to study about. The Bible said we're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be pretty, and you may seem that. And both of those ways are the end of death. Because your beauty is in vain, and a way that seems right can lead you right to the wide door of hell. Because hell is paved with good intentions. You may be good intent. You may have just cause. And it may seem right, but you could be off on the Bible. Well, I've got to get out of here.
That is him.
My time is just about coming gone. But I have enjoyed being with you tonight. And by being with you, I want to remind you that what you can do, you can write us. That's Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284. Now, it's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, again, the address is Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you would like to call me, I'm live tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What day is this? Well, this is the 18th of August. See, we're right on the time. We're not giving you no recorded stuff. We're right here with you live tonight. And we are enjoying our time with you live around the world on WWRB 3.185. Yahweh bless you is our prayer. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey out of the great state of Mississippi. Now, I've got a great lot of friends down there. And Dr. Gary himself is out of Mississippi. He's been my longtime sponsor. Now, Mark and Audrey is sponsoring two nights a week for the Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy. Brought to you courtesy of their love for the gospel. And ladies and gentlemen, we love those that hold up the hands of the message of truth. And you shall know the truth. Put your faith into one. That's Yahweh, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's singing about. We'll be back with you. My heavens, tomorrow night. I'll be joining you tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on WWRB 3.185. We'll be in simulcast tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185 and 5050 on Saturday night, ladies. And we're even simulcast on another station. Thank you, courtesy of the staff at WWRB. Hardworking group people that want to hear the gospel. Get out to a lost and dying world. Walk upright, fear him, and love your brother. That's all you got to do to get to heaven, is to love Yahweh and love your brother. And by this, all the world will know that you're my disciples. Put your faith in one pair of hands. Well, my time is coming and gone, and I've got to say goodnight to you. But I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That'll be 9 o'clock Central Time. It'll be heard a few guys down south in the Central Time Zone, and out west is even earlier. So tonight, I love you. Thank you for staying up here, Pastor Buddy, and enjoying this message with you tonight. I enjoyed bringing it to you. Many love and blessings to you on down the line. Yahweh bless you.